Hi, my name is Sonny Flores from KPTZ, bringing you coverage of the recent community forum at the Tri-Area Community Center, co-sponsored by the AAUW and the League of Women Voters. The forum was in regards to the hospital commissioner position open here in Jefferson County. The candidates were Bernie Downenberg, Bruce McComas, and Sherry Van Hoover. The moderator was Scott Wilson.
This forum, as almost all forums, being put on by the AAUW and the League of Women Voters in Jefferson County here. Several other people are volunteering their time to make this happen. Gary Engelbrecht is doing the sound. Dennis Deneau is here for PTTV. Sonny Flores is here for KPTZ. The two contests that are on the primary ballot are for the one of the positions with the Jefferson Healthcare Commission and the position with the Chimicum School Board. We're going to start with the Jefferson Healthcare Commission. I'm very pleased to have three candidates here who are all running for position number two on what I'm going to call the Jefferson Healthcare Commission Board, even though that's not the formal name. And this is the only position on the Hospital Commission that's up for election this round. The primary vote is on August the 1st, coming right up, in which case these three candidates will be winnowed down to two, heading toward the November 7 general election. The three candidates, Bernie Downenberg is on the far side, Bruce McComas in the middle, Sherry Van Hoover is closest to me. We're going to ask each of them to spend 3 minutes introducing themselves, then we'll take questions either from the floor or in written format somewhere in the back of the room there. If you do have an oral question, I'll ask you to find the microphone in the back of the room so your television and radio audience can hear you as well. So without further ado then, I'm going to ask you to take the lead, Bernie.
Again, my name is Bernie Downenberg. I've lived here for 42 years in the county and in Port Townsend. I first came here in pursuit of boats, like a lot of people, and I had a boat building business and repair business for about 15 years, and then I was drawn, as my family grew and my first child was born, to volunteer in the schools and in the classroom, and I believe Bruce Callen there can attest to my volunteering with first graders a long time back. So I did that and discovered in the process of that I really liked working with kids and families. And I got a master's degree in counseling, psychology, and began to work first in Skagit County, then here in Jefferson County. I was clinical director of child and family services in Skagit County. I've been clinical director at Jefferson Mental Health. And then I was quality improvement director for Kitsap Mental Health, an organization of about 450 staff, inpatient and outpatient services. I was involved in every aspect of that operation, helping them to design programs to improve what they do. And I think that's what really drew me into this race. When I discovered that Jefferson Healthcare had purchased Peninsula or Discovery Behavioral Healthcare, it's hard for me because it was Jefferson all the years that I worked there. I was there at the end of my career for the last time as clinical director, and had been advocating for at least 15 years, maybe even 20, that mental health needed to be a part of medical health care in this community. And now it's the number one goal on the community health improvement plan. And so I just felt that with my experience and long time in the community, I've volunteered in a long list of programs, which can be seen on the website. The League of Women Voter Guide will have a complete list there. And I believe that my experience in quality improvement, in working in mental health, interfacing with healthcare, I spent many nights in the emergency room on crisis calls, working with the docs there. I love what the staff do. I think administratively we're challenged. We're a small community, but that can be an asset also, and I'd like to work toward that. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie. Our next candidate is Bruce McComas.
Thank you, Scott, and thank you for having us here tonight. I was born and raised in Anacortes and have lived all but 3 years of my life in Washington State and 36 of it in Jefferson County. I moved to Port Townsend in 1981 when it was still a Crown Zellerbach mill, and went on, worked there for 27 years, altogether working 40 years in the pulp and paper industry. But when we moved to town, my wife and I, we've always believed in giving back to the community, so we quickly got involved in community service organizations. I was on the school board for 7 years. I helped start the Jefferson County Education Foundation, which later became the Port Townsend Education Foundation. I was on the founding board for Habitat for Humanity. I was on the founding board and was the first president for the Community Foundation. I was on the Hospital Financial Advisory Committee for 6 years. And in 2008, I was honored with being chosen as Port Townsend Citizen of the Year. In 2011, my wife was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer. And so we started a 6-year battle. And so we got to know the healthcare system inside and out, the good and the bad. I needed to continue working until 2013 when Obamacare came in because I needed to be sure that I was going to have insurance to cover her health care costs. But we learned a lot about Jefferson Healthcare, Seattle Cancer Care Alliance, UW, all kinds of clinics, all about billing issues and problems. And my wife passed away in October, and since that time, I've been volunteering on 3 different groups at the hospital to help make it easier for other patients, whether they're cancer patients or other kinds of patients. So I'm on the oncology support team, and we've been putting together a handbook for cancer patients and their families. We'll help make it easier for them, a lot of resource materials. I'm also on the Patient and Family Advisory Council, where we're working to make things easier, the navigation of the system for all patients. And I'm on the Patient Financial Experience Task Force, where we're looking at how we can make it more affordable for all patients. So I'm the only candidate, and there's nobody else on the board that has a business and financial background like I do. And I'm the only one right now, the other of all the candidates, that's actively involved in helping to make the system better and easier to navigate for all patients. Thank you.
And the third candidate, Sherry Van Hoover.
I want to thank, just start out by thanking the AAUW and the League of Women Voters for having us here. I very much appreciate the opportunity. So I grew up in Bremerton. I'm a Northwest girl. I moved away and raised my family and had much of my professional career in San Francisco in the Bay Area. We returned up here 13 years ago, live in Port Hadlock, where my husband and I have a small farm. And my background is that for more than 30 years, I have been a nurse midwife and a nurse practitioner. I have worked in private practices in private hospitals. I have worked for a large HMO. I've been medical school faculty at UCSF. For the last 13 years since I moved back up here, came home, I have been working teaching at a distance for Philadelphia University, where I teach health policy for graduate students. So in other words, what I teach is the interface between law and regulation and health. So that's what I've been teaching. And I've been working first for Family Planning of Clallam County and then for Planned Parenthood at their SQIM clinic, where I was the clinician. After Planned Parenthood acquired Family Planning of Clallam County. I've always had clinical practice. I've also done administration. I've been involved with education in a number of ways, known as a scholarly writer as well. My article, Midwifing the End of Life, which I co-authored with Lisa Holt of Jefferson Healthcare, was awarded the best article of the year last year from the professional journal that it was published in, which was really a very great honor. In addition to all of this, I've also had small businesses and volunteer activities. Since I've been back, my volunteer activities have mostly been around farming, gardening, and dancing. This was a lot of fun. So I've been Master Gardener on the board of Master Gardeners. I was with Tri-Area Garden Club, president of that group. I've been, my husband and I have been teaching farm interns. We do the rabbit class for them, teaching them how to raise and process rabbits. And for the last, 6 years, I think it is, at least 5 years, I've been putting on a monthly free dance for the community and teaching for several years partner dancing for free to the community and as something to do to encourage physical activity and et cetera. So my entire professional career has been about the promoting the health of women, families, and communities. It's my passion, and I would be honored to continue doing that as a member of the Hospital District Commissioner Board.
Thank you, Sherry. Well, now's your turn. The rules in terms of questions are that you keep them short. You do not make speeches. You ask people their opinions. You can direct a question at a candidate, but we're going to try to broaden them out to all candidates. And I'm going to start with a written question. So and we'll mix up the order in which candidates go. So Sherry, you'll start with this one. We'll march across toward Bernie. What is your opinion of the direction that hospital leadership has taken in the last 6 years, and why? It's a big one, but take it on.
That's a very big one. I think that the hospital leadership has done an outstanding job in the area of finances and fiscal responsibility and the growth of services in the last 6 years. I've been very impressed with the CEO's financial acumen and with the chief financial officer as well. I think they're doing a fabulous job. The growth of services has been impressive, and there are some things around billing, transparency, I would like to see improvements in. However, there's always room for improvement in any organization, no matter how great a job they're doing, and that's what I would want to help continue to improve and work on.
Thank you. Bruce.
Thanks. Yeah, I also agree. I'm in favor of the direction that the hospital is going. I can tell you, 6 years ago when my wife started in cancer treatment, there were a lot of things they couldn't do here, but the oncology staff has done a great job with what they're doing. I used to have to go to Bremerton to see a cardiologist. Now we have a cardiologist. They're looking at hiring another one. My wife used to have to go to Seattle to see a dermatologist. So, I mean, the expansion of services is great, and the quality is improving as well. I agree with what Sherry said. I mean, I'm a big believer in continuous quality improvement or continuous improvement. That's why I'm serving on some committees to help make things better. So,
thank you. Bernie.
I'll just take this one out. So I'm probably the outlier here. I've lived here a long time. All my children were born at the hospital. I love the services that are available here and the people who provide them. I'm not so sure about the direction of the administration. I think that we've made a bet on facilities and expansion and taking over more buildings and that, and now we're facing a potential loss of our federal revenue. If I were in business producing anything, I would say, well, maybe I made a bad gamble looking forward. It may not turn out that way. But in my experience, in terms of how you rate an organization, is you get feedback from the people who get services, you get feedback from the people who work there. And I haven't heard that yet. A little bit that I've heard has not been so good. So I would say that my approach would be to look at Not so much the financials. I get it that they know how to do financials. I've been in agencies that do financials well. But I want to talk to the patients and I want to talk to the staff about how it is to work there. Because if the job is not doable and it's difficult, then that's going to be an issue. And that would be a judgment on the management. So I don't have specific information, but that's the area that I would look toward. Thanks.
So I'm going to follow this up on my own, and why don't you start off, Bernie, and basically along those lines, and I just want to ask, from what you know now and the experience you have with the hospital, would you choose to retain Mike Glenn in the director's role? That is the most important decision a hospital commissioner makes, and I'm going to ask everyone to take on that same question.
I would not hire or fire anyone until I had done the things that I said. I would get feedback from the staff at every level. I would get feedback from patients to the degree that we could do it with surveys. I've done this in every agency I've worked for, and that's the most important source of information that we can get, is what the people who are in contact with that organization every day think. And, you know, I can read balance sheets. I have long business experience. I know how to do that part of it as well, but that's really the key issue for me.
Thank you. Bruce?
Yeah, I would keep Mike Glenn. I think he's doing a great job. And, I mean, they do satisfaction surveys, and part of the reason they've expanded the way they have is they're trying to meet the needs of what the patients, the customers of the district, want. And sometimes when you're trying to meet those needs, you have to take some risks. But I think they're taking reasonable risks with what they're doing in the new hospital. We were losing patients to other hospital districts, other counties. And I think people are seeing there's a big change, and they're wanting to stay here. I believe people want to get their health care close to home. You don't want to have to go to Seattle to get your health care. You want it to be quality health care. You want it to be affordable. And that's the things that I'm working on already, and I'll continue to work on to serve all the patients of the district.
Thanks, Bruce. Sherry?
I have not seen anything that would make me think that I would not want Mike Glenn to continue. He has been doing a really outstanding job. He clearly cares very much. And if, following the kind of careful review that Bernie is talking about, and I agree with him about that, that it's always important to do 360-degree reviews and to evaluate the performance of each and every person who's involved with an organization, if, and that's a big if, there were areas where improvement was needed, then that's a matter for discussion. It's a matter for evaluation, for feedback, for working together as a unit to make things as good as they can be. Firing a CEO of an organization, that's a very big, risky, expensive proposition. Right? That should not be anything that would ever be done lightly, because how do you know you're going to find someone better? And even if you do, what's going to be the cost of looking for that person? So I would absolutely say Mike Glenn's job is safe if I'm on the board until something really egregious is shown.
Okay, next question, and we'll start with Bruce, go to Sherry, then Bernie. What skills and experience would you bring to the commission that are not currently represented in either current commissioners or in the other candidates?
Well, I already talked about that a little bit in my opening comments. I mean, I'm the only one that has business management, supervisory, financial experience. And, you know, I bring a patient caregiver, patient advocate perspective from helping my wife through 6 years of cancer. And I'm actively serving on committees already that are actively making the system better for patients.
Okay. Bernie?
For me, mental health experience is what I would bring. There's no one else on the board currently who has experience with mental health. And for those of you who are not aware of it, the mental health system is completely different than the medical system. It's governed by different laws, by different regulations. Substance abuse, a whole other set of laws and regulations, which are not the same as medical. And in terms of the business structure of those, the payment system is completely different So whereas a medical bill's fee-for-service, mental health and substance abuse are different. And I'll just say that I could spend a long time here on those systems. I know how those work. I think mental health integration can be done well by the hospital, and it can be done poorly. And I would like to see it done well. I have a strong stake in that community and how that works, and I'd like to bring that to the hospital board.
Thank you. Sherry.
So I would state that I actually do have quite a bit of background in mental health. I worked in a psychiatric crisis intervention center before I became a nurse and a midwife for approximately 5 years. And I was married to the director of that program for 22 years. So I was very involved with the administrative experience of managing mental health. I would also state that I have been a manager and an administrator. I have supervised midwives. I have supervised lactation consultants. I have participated in many hospital financial and administrative boards. And I have run numerous small businesses over the years. I've been an antique dealer. I've been a vintage jewelry dealer for 15 years. And additionally, I'm now running a B&B at my farm. And I will mention that all of my businesses have done very, very well. Right? I have never lost money on a business. So I have all that. Plus, I also have 30 years of experience delivering healthcare in a variety of settings, and I am a patient at Jefferson Healthcare, as is my husband. So I have many insights about how care is delivered there, what's worked for us, where there's room for improvement, and I would welcome the opportunity to be a part of those changes and improvements.
This next question, will go Bernie, Sherry, Bruce. In 2013, Jefferson County had the second highest abortion rate, and in 2014, the highest abortion rate of any in the state. All these women had to go out of county to receive care. Does Jefferson County currently have enough providers to handle this volume locally, and how will you ensure that there is always an adequate supply of, of providers to meet the full range of needs of Jefferson County women should you become a hospital commissioner?
That's actually surprising information to me. I did not know that there was no one providing abortion services in this area. The last time that I looked, when I was working as a mental health professional, there was a discussion of that, and I thought that was going to be available. So I would say I don't understand why that hasn't worked, and I would certainly find out why. And if there's an impediment within the structure of the hospital to doing that, well, I think that needs to be overcome. And if it's some other problem, it needs to be solved. People should get the health care that they need when they need it as close to home as possible. It's not always going to be possible. And I think we're a small community of 10,000 in the city area and maybe another 15 or 20 in the county, we're not going to have the same service profile as Seattle, even Bremerton, with 200,000. But we're going to do whatever we can. And that seems to be a very basic service that ought to be available to women in this county. And I'm absolutely surprised that it's not.
Thanks, Bernie. Sherry.
It is my understanding that abortion services are currently available through Jefferson Healthcare. That was initiated by the action that was brought by the ACLU a couple years ago. And I applaud and really honor Jefferson Healthcare for stepping up the way they did to make those services available. And I think that the fact that those services have been integrated so smoothly into the clinics so that I believe many people have not really even noticed that they've been added because it's so seamless, I think that's fabulous. I am pleased and proud that my candidacy has been endorsed by Planned Parenthood Votes. I am deeply and utterly committed to women having complete control and absolute choice in every aspect of their reproductive health care. And I also would go one step further and wonder why we're having this high a rate of women who are seeking this service, because to me that indicates there may be some other problems earlier in the process, because I want to know why people aren't having access to the kinds of birth control services that would help them sooner than that. So.
Thank you, Sherry. Bruce.
That's a tough question. But I know that Jefferson Healthcare does provide those services, and they have the new women's health clinic. So, I mean, they're trying to address the needs. But it's not just women's health where we're having problems. We need more doctors in the rest of the clinics as well. And so it's one of the main priorities for the commission for this next year is hiring and retention of qualified personnel, whether it's doctors or whether it's other staff. I don't know why that many women chose to go somewhere else. I don't know whether it was whether they couldn't get the services here or whether they just chose to go somewhere else. So I don't know. But I agree with Sherry. I mean, it's a woman's choice. Me as a commissioner has no right being anywhere in between that decision and the woman and her doctor. So.
Okay, thank you, Bruce. If you see me looking at that microphone and waiting to see if someone wants to step up and ask a question, it's available. In the meantime, and please just stand there and we'll get right to you. Here they come. I'm going to ask this written question from the audience, and Bruce will go Bruce, Sherry, and Bernie. If elected, would you make an effort to acknowledge the claims of our citizens regarding health impacts from the paper mill's emissions, and make a hospital-wide effort in dealing with the problem, is the question.
Well, I'm not entirely sure what all the claims are as far as health effects. I know there's been lots of things in the paper and questions around the odors, but you can smell a lot of things that are not harmful to you, especially when there's sulfur compounds, because, I mean, we were evolved that way so we wouldn't eat spoiled meat and things like that. So you can smell in parts per billion of sulfur dioxide, which is not harmful to you, but it keeps you from eating things that are. I think there have been some studies in the past on particulate and other issues, and I think those should continue. I mean, if there are concerns about, you know, air quality, we should look at those. But I can tell you the biggest source of air pollution are automobiles and wood stoves in the county.
Thanks, Bruce. Sherry?
So I am aware of people's concerns about this issue, and I have concern as well. And I am not a chemist, and I am not certain about exactly what kinds of compounds are being released, and whether there are some that you can't smell that might even be more of a problem than the ones that you can smell. I don't know. But I certainly think that people's concerns need to be taken seriously, that if there are issues, even with the quality of the air in terms of the pleasantness of our environment, it is something that deserves attention. I think tracking these problems is a first step. I think it's something that the public health department is an ideal partner to be dealing with this issue. And as a hospital district commissioner, I would certainly want to know, in partnership with the public health department, whether there were case reports and patterns that we should be tracing and involving state agencies as well to look at this problem.
Bernie.
I have some recollection of maybe 10 or 15 years back. The health department did a study. It was an epidemiological study of respiratory illnesses and the proximity to the mill and the paths of the mill smoke, and found a significant higher incidence of respiratory problems in the areas where the mill smoke tended to go through. And I remember that study. I don't remember what, if anything, was done. I know that the mill has taken steps to improve the quality of their output. in terms of what's discharged into the water and into the air. But I would say if there are concerns, A, studying it first, getting the feedback, the information. Epidemiological studies are very effective in identifying sources of problems. And so if we have a study that shows there's a problem, then it needs to be addressed. The hospital commission, also I agree with Sherry, is not the primary force for that. That is the Department of Health and potentially the state EPA. But the hospital should have a voice in that if they're a participant in that. Anything that affects large numbers of people in the community is a concern to the hospital district, I believe.
Thanks, Bernie. David, you've got something?
Yes. My name is Dave Woodruff. I'm a three-day-a-week patron of the district. I'm a taxpayer and a former hospital commissioner in another county. My question relates to an editorial. The Leader made editorial reference to a split board in late May. How will you address this issue?
Got the question about if you have thoughts about a split board. And Bernie, you'd go first, then Bruce and Sherry.
Well, I don't know how to characterize the people on either side of the split, but I believe that there are two commissioners who tend to vote in one direction and two commissioners who tend to vote in the other. And Tony's leaving is giving the opportunity to have one of the factions, let's say, be more supported than the other. And I would say that in my own political persuasion, I'm not a member of a political party, but I would tend to be what you would call a progressive. And I would say that with a capital P. And my name is Bernie. I'm not that Bernie, but you know what? I'm a lot like him. So if that's the way you go, I'm your guy.
Bruce.
Well, I've also heard that there is some contention on the board, but my experience in negotiating contracts, either at the mill or being on the school board, is actually at the mill, I brought in interest-based bargaining to get away from the positions and to get to what the true interests were. And if you ask enough questions and you keep talking and you ask, why are you interested in this, pretty soon you'll get to what the real issue is, and then that's something you can work on together.
Thank you. Sherry.
Yeah, my comment is that I really like working with groups, and it's something that I think that I'm really good at. And when I am in a group of people, I listen carefully to what everyone is saying, and I can usually find some truth in all of it. And then I see my role as being someone who can help bring people together to find a mutual experience of satisfaction in the work that we do. And that's what I would like to bring to this board as well. I've been observing all of the board meetings since December, except two that I missed because of medical emergencies. And there is not one person on that board that I don't have enormous respect for and who I don't feel that I could work with very comfortably. And as to whether there are factions, I don't know, but all I see is well-intentioned people who care very deeply about this hospital district and the people of Jefferson County, and that's what I care about too.
Thanks, Sherry. Next question.
I'm Jennifer Taylor. I've been working with the Jefferson County Citizens for Healthcare Access for about 14 years, I guess. And I would like to reflect back on the question that was asked about how you approve of the direction the hospital's going in the for the last 6 years. I think that was the number, Scott. My experience is I'm not technical at all. I'm not medical at all. I'm just a concerned citizen. And one of my concerns has been the medical debt that people are accruing as a result of care at the hospital. Now, I know that this is true because I served on the committee, the Community Healthcare Improvement Project or Program for the access issue, because that's where my primary experience has been. And it looked to me like access was being limited by cost, serious differences in cost between what could be afforded and what could go. And I know the last few years the hospital has improved the sliding scale, taken it up further, and has improved medical charity care, but then the ACA changed that, and now it may change back again. But my concern, as a result of what I learned working on this committee from John Nowak, who was the chair who works at the hospital, is that for the first 6 months of last year, when I was working with that group, the hospital was sending about 5 accounts to collections every day. And that, to me, we're a community, we're too small a community to sustain that kind of problem. Now, there must be a way to solve this. We've been trying to talk to them about it, and they're listening. They've got a committee formed, but I haven't heard anything from the committee.
I think we understand the question, so let's let these folks get to us. So we'll go with Sherry, and then Bernie, and then Bruce.
So the 5 people being sent to collections a day is new information for me, and that is certainly concerning. And I have heard anecdotes about issues with the billing department, and I do have concerns about how billing is handled. I think that is an area at the hospital that could use examination and improvement. I know that there is a committee, and I'm sure that Bruce will be speaking more about that committee because he sits on it. And I would also be very interested in hearing more about the work of the committee and what their findings are. But I think transparency has been an issue. I think we need to help people get health insurance to the very best of our ability. And I certainly hope that the Affordable Care Act is not going to be repealed and we will be able to continue assisting people to get health insurance. I think that is the biggest problem.
Bernie.
Well, this is kind of where the politics really begins, I think. Sorry. Oh, I got a cramp in my leg.
Is there a doctor in the...
No. No, thanks. I can't afford it. I'm on Medicare, and the copay is just killing me. But anyway, we are in a situation where if you were to add up all the money that is spent on health care in Jefferson County, it would be much more than is required to treat every person in this county. I know that. Other countries do this routinely. They spend a lot less and they get a lot more. This is the part that is so hard to deal with. We're a small community. We can't just do a single payer health plan ourselves. Maybe. Maybe we can. You know, when I was at Kitsap Mental Health, I worked on a committee to investigate our health insurance, which was going up 30% every time it had to get renewed every 2 years. And what we came to after hiring a consultant is that we are paying way more than even as a mental health center with, we're like firemen and cops in terms of health experience. I mean, people get sick from the work because it's so hard. And in the first year that we self-insured, we saved $80,000 on what we were paying out in the previous year with not great experience. The money is there. The problem is the distribution, that people are getting health care from so many places. The billing is so complex. I read a study when California was trying to get their single payer onto the ballot, which said that in a Canadian hospital, they had 2 people in the billing department for a 400-bed hospital. In an American hospital on the other side of the border, they had 400 people in the billing department for a 400-bed hospital.
So, Bernie, your time.
We have to do better.
Thank you. That's okay. Sure. And Bruce.
Thank you, Bernie. I am on that committee, and there are a lot of things that are in the works. I mean, one of the things I brought up is they need to talk with patients about what their expected bill might be and what their insurance company might pay and what they might still owe, and then ask them whether they would have a problem paying that, and let them know that there are some options, whether it's payments or whether they may qualify for charity care. We're looking at the option of increasing the amount of charity care that we can do. The hospital is already looking at how they can reduce costs, all to make it more affordable and accessible to all the patients, because we want people to get the health care that they need and they deserve.
Thank you, Bruce. Question.
Good evening. My name is Maureen Huff, and I admire and respect that each of you is willing to put yourselves out to do something to serve the community. So thank you for that. It's also pleasing to hear that at least one of you has mentioned attending current commissioners' meetings to get the idea of how this works. I wonder if you have met with any of the commissioners in your role of running for a position, if you've had conversations with them or toured the hospital, and have you learned any direction from any of these possible conversations and meetings?
Okay, and we'll go Bruce, Sherry, and Bernie.
I've also attended the commission meetings, and I have talked with most of the commissioners, not all. And, you know, while they have differences of opinion on how to get there, I think they all truly want to improve the healthcare system in Jefferson County. They just have different ideas on how to get there, and that's what they need to work on together so that we can get there.
Sherry.
Yes, I have met. I've met with two commissioners, sat with them, and had a cup of tea, and it was lovely. And I have chatted very briefly with one and a little greater length with the other. So of the four who will be continuing on the board, I've had a personal contact with all of them. And I have heard wonderful perspectives from those who've sat and met with me, and I would love to meet with the others as well.
Bernie.
So I've been following the hospital commission online. I've not attended the meetings, but they do have an audio recording. I've listened to audio recording of the sessions, usually after looking at the minutes and trying to find the area that I was interested in. So I'm aware of the proceedings, and I've got to say they're like most boards. You know, you need to stay awake. Drink coffee. It's a long meeting and a lot of stuff to get through, and I'm familiar with that. But the other part of it, in terms of the commissioners, I met personally with one of the commissioners, had an extended conversation, actually a couple of times, which encouraged me in terms of running. I have met with other commissioners in group settings, but not had specific conversations. I would say that I'm a person who am at my best in individual conversations and in a small group. I think the hospital board would be my ideal place. In this setting, I can get a little nervous and run on a little bit, get cramps in my leg or whatever, but I do my best. Thanks.
Thanks, Bernie. Question?
Yes, my name is Shirley Williams, and I'm a retired clinical specialist in oncology. I worked for 45 years in giving care to cancer patients, most of them at a community hospital that had a wide multidisciplinary team of geriatricians, oncologists, internal medicine, infectious disease. My concern is that this is a community of mostly older people. All of us know that we're one of the older communities in the nation. Yet, when I went online to try to find a board-certified geriatrician, none existed on the peninsula. I also looked at Public Health District Number 2, which is our public health district. We're a public health district hospital responsible to the community. In their initiatives, there was nothing about geriatric care. It was all about births and women, and that's wonderful. But there are men and there's women, and we're retired and we're old. And the problem is, just as a child is not best treated by anything other than a pediatrician, an older person has different issues. They don't metabolize drugs well. They don't need some of the interventions. And my biggest concern now is with some things coming down the pike, is that there is a tendency for hospitals who need revenue to up the procedures on the highly insured, naive retired citizen and decrease the amount of care to the less insured or not insured person. So I guess my question to for the policy that you might approach the hospital with or negotiate with the hospital is what is your efforts to get geriatricians into either nurse practitioner geriatricians or board certified medical geriatricians, because we are an aging community.
Great, thank you. And we'll go Bernie, Bruce, and Sherry.
So you've identified something that exists in many places, and this is the community where older doctors come to retire, not to keep practicing. And unfortunately, you know, if you went to see a doctor who said, "I'm a geriatrician," and he's 27, you would feel like, I don't know what, you know, you have any idea who I am? But you're identifying a clear need, and I'd say the practice of looking for the business which returns the highest income is one that we always have to be watchful for. That's not our mission. We are a community hospital district. And when I was talking before about the money and how there's more money in this community than we need to take care of everyone, it's the distribution. This is an area where that's especially true. Young people, for all the things that we worry about, are way healthier early in life and need so much less care. And I agree with you that we need to emphasize more matching our clinical staff with our population base. And however we do that, I just want to say one way we do that, in the community health plan, there are at least four or five, and if you look in the different areas, interventions that are advocate for a single-payer health plan. It's mentioned in there over and over again. I believe that as a hospital district, we need to advocate throughout the state and send that message to the federal government that we can't go on like this. We can't keep treating people only based on what we get back from them.
Thanks, Bernie. Bruce.
I don't know for sure about the geriatrics situation. I actually met a guy today who's doing his internship in geriatrics, and he says the hospital's been trying to hire him, or they want him to come work here when he's done. So I know that they're looking at that, and I'm getting older too. So I mean, I believe that we need to continue to look at all the things that the aging population needs, whether it's around orthopedics, whether it's around oncology, whether it's around cardiac care and rehabilitation, all the things that as you age, you have more need for. And I don't believe that we should look at people on how much they can pay. We should look at them on what they need.
Sherry.
So recruitment and retention of providers, especially primary care providers, is a very big concern for me. We are indeed a public hospital district, and Jefferson Healthcare belongs to the people of this county. And so it needs to meet the needs of the people of this county. Having more providers who have a special interest in geriatrics or who specialize in geriatrics, I think, would be a fabulous thing. Shirley mentioned nurse practitioners as an option. I believe that we would be well served to be recruiting more specialist and generalist nurse practitioners and physician assistants as a way of helping to relieve some of the difficulty that we're having with getting people access to care. I also see other needs that an aging population
needs. There are wonderful wellness programs already underway that need to be expanded, especially into South County, where they don't have access to those kinds of wellness and fall prevention and nutrition classes. We need to serve all the people in our county. Also, there is a move towards improving our palliative care, which is not necessarily the same as hospice. Palliative care is appropriate for anyone with chronic disease, and we need a palliative care clinician who would supervise and be the central person and who would bring that program together. And that's a very pressing need, I think.
So, folks, we started a little late, so we're going to go a little late, but I think we only have time for two more questions. So, John, you've got the first of the two.
Sure. My name's John Austin. I'm a retired psychologist. I don't mind having younger doctors. I am a little concerned about retention. You've spoken about recruitment, but I'm concerned as I see some of our good doctors leave for other places. And I know it's hard sometimes to keep docs in a rural community like this, but what do you think would be the impact of your being on the board in terms of retaining our good doctors and nurses?
And we'll go Sherry, Bernie, Bruce.
So, yes, I see problems with both recruitment and retention. Recruitment is no big surprise to me because rural areas all over the country are having a problem with recruitment. Retention, I think, is a problem that we definitely need to address. And I have been speaking with numerous people through the community, including some of the doctors, about that issue. And I hear different things from different people about why people leave. Some of those things are general, things like schools, jobs for spouses, getting here and finding out that they're farther away from the city than they thought they were going to be. But other of those concerns have to do with feeling that they are seeing too many geriatric patients in a day, that they aren't able to give the kind of care that they would love to give. And as someone who has spent a lifetime giving care, I understand that very, very well, because I know that for most medical providers, be it doctors, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, midwives, whatever, we aren't doing this because we want to get rich. You know, paying them more isn't going to keep them in the community. What makes people want to stay is knowing that they can look in the mirror at the end of the day and know that they helped people and that they can feel good about the care they're able to provide. And I can provide that kind of perspective and understand very clearly the kinds of pressures that providers experience.
Bernie.
So when I first came to town, I worked in the boat industry. I cut things. I broke things. I was constantly seeking attention. And you know what? I could go into the doctor's office, and Doug Carrata was my doc. I love Doug. He delivered my two daughters. And he would stitch me up. He would do whatever was needed right in the office in my visit. And I would leave, and I never had insurance. I would pay the $100 or whatever it cost. And I know that when he retired because of the electronic recording and all the structures that were put on that were extraneous. You know, being a doctor right now, I wouldn't have that job because of all of the paperwork. I just talked to an anesthesiologist retired who said that when he started, he filled out one form when he did an anesthetic for a case, and now he's got 32 pages, or that's what he had when he retired. He had to fill out 32 pages for every service he did. It's a difficult job. So finding people willing to do that is really hard. Finding people willing to stay here is not so hard if you choose wisely, and when you're doing your search, you make clear you can come to Port Townsend, you're going to live 2 hours from Seattle on a good day, and you're not going to have all the things that you'd have in the city, but what you'll have is incredible natural beauty, and your kids will get to grow up in a healthy environment. That's not something people can have in a lot of other places. We need to get people who want to be here, who really want to be here, and I think that'll make a difference.
Thanks, Bernie. Bruce.
Well, I think part of it is hiring. If we can get more good qualified doctors here, it'll take some load off of the doctors that are already overloaded. And we can do more with nurse practitioners and medical assistants to do the things that the doctor doesn't have to do, would take load off them, so that they can spend more time with the patients on what the needs are. I think that, you know, if doctors aren't overloaded, if we can get some other doctors, you know, if we can recruit more doctors, and I think if they feel that they are appreciated and that they have some room for growth. I mean, living in a small community has some great benefits. And I can tell you, the doctors that my wife went to in Seattle didn't call her afterwards or to find out how she was doing. You know, and the doctors here do. They really care about their patients because they see them in the grocery store, they see them down the street, and they're part of the community.
So we are at our last question. I'm sorry for you folks who are behind, but we need to move on.
Hi, my name is Trish Wallett. I've been a nurse for 51 years, and 25 of those years I spent in surgery. I've worked in places where they had one operating room, and I've worked in places where they had 25 operating rooms. I've worked in trauma centers. I've worked in places where they just did one particular kind of surgery. I've had all the kinds of experience that there are, I think. I've seen the horrible results of people who came to the hospital too late because they didn't have insurance or they were underinsured. So my question to you is, what is your opinion? How do you feel about single-payer health care, and what does that mean to you?
We'll go Bruce, Sherry, and Bernie.
Okay, so single-payer health care. You know, I'm for affordable health care for everyone. It should be a right, not a privilege. And I'm for improving the quality and the scope of services that are provided. And if single-payer is one position, it's one way. If that can get us to where we want to be, then I'm for it. If it's a different model, I mean, this is a intelligent community, intelligent country. I think we can probably come up with a system that's better than single payer if we really all work together for it.
Sherry.
I too believe that health care is a right, not a privilege. And I know that we are the only industrialized nation in the world that does not have a system of universal health care and universal health insurance. And I think single payer is a great way to solve that problem, and I would support it 100%.
Bernie.
Single payer health care is truly democratic health care. This is the great leveler, and that's why it's so hard to get, because there are forces in this country that have existed from the very start that see themselves as having more rights than we do. And single payer is a great way to level that field. The same health care for senators, presidents, and people on the streets living under bridges. It's all the same. If you have a need, you go in, you get treated, and you get treated to the degree that you want to be treated and with what's available to you. I don't think there's another solution to this. I don't think that if we rely on the businesses and the politicians who are sitting now to develop something, I don't think we're going to get that. So that's my position. Thanks.
So folks, that concludes, you know, this portion of the forum. I want to thank these three excellent candidates for an excellent discussion.